Hey everybody, welcome to Crosswind Church Podcasts. We hope this message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
You ever run across something so absurd, you're just like, okay. Right? Like, to the Bible readers in the room, have y'all ever read something like in the Bible, right? Like, don't tell anybody we said this, but like, have y'all read something in the Bible and you're like, probably not. Like, you know, like, think about it. Like, have you ever read, let's get real specific. Have you ever read something that Jesus said? Yes. And you're like, probably not. Right? Like, those are those verses that in churches we just kind of like skip over. We're like, that's in there. That's probably right. But we ain't doing that. Well, let's just be honest. Right? Like in Matthew 6, 25, this is what Jesus says. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Okay. Let's be real, right? This is the Bible. This is Holy Scripture. This is what Jesus commands, but come on. We ain't doing that. There's not. How in the world? Like, okay, let's think about it. Like, this was written first century. We're in the 21st century. There's a few thousand years that separate this. Like, there's got to be some coming of the terms, right? Like, surely, right? The people in the first century, they didn't have to worry as much about all the things as we have to worry about, right? Maybe, probably, perhaps. Today in this part of this In Commandment series, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you on the front end, this is the most absurd thing we're going to talk about through this whole series, right? This is one of those things that Jesus says, and let's just be honest, for those of you who are Christians in the room or online, like we see this, we hear this, we read this, and we're like, okay, let's keep going. We did this in the summer, right? Y'all might not have realized this, but like in the summer, we skipped over this. I'm just going to go ahead and confess it. We did this series back in the summer of the Sermon on the Mount where we read through Jesus' teaching, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We just skipped this. We were like, nah, nobody's doing this. Not really, I'm just kidding. We strategically skipped over this because we need to spend some time talking about not worrying. And so if you were one of those people who read through the Sermon on the Mount this past summer with us and you were like, wait a minute, they skipped some things. We did that strategically, and today and next week both, we're going to go back to the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus tells us, as his followers, to not do a couple of things, and today we're going to talk about not worrying. Now, if you're new to the Bible, if you're new to Scripture at all, like especially like if you have a Bible that has red words, right, those red letters that Jesus is quoted in saying, if no one's ever told you, in the Bible, like in this verse, in verse 25, where it says, therefore, the English language is serving as this transition phrasing. And so anytime, quick little Bible seminary course, anytime you see the word therefore, you're supposed to ask the question, what's it? Therefore, you guys are paying attention. Fantastic. And when you do that, you have to actually back up to see the entire context of what we're doing. Because in our English Bibles, publishers decided they were going to like section off things. And sometimes those sections are like really good. But in this case, it's not really that great, in my opinion. So you have to actually go back to verse 24. This is what Jesus is saying originally. No one can serve two masters. Either you hate one and love the other, or you're devoted to the one and you despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? In just a few short words, in just a few short phrases, Jesus has told us not to worry about five things. And there's nothing that gets a pastor more excited than, especially this one, than a Tennessee Vols win and five things that start with alliteration. He says, don't be worried about finances, your future, food, your figure, or fashion. I worked all week on that, and y'all didn't applause, none of you. Forget it. Nope, you're too late. Stop it. So, in just a few short words, Jesus is like, we worry. First century, 21st century, we worry about a bunch of things, don't we? And in the context of verses 24 and 25, he's like, we shouldn't worry about these things. But come on, that list of things, especially the finance part of it, okay. Our future, the plans, the good plans we just sang about? Like, aren't we supposed to like, there's a lot of things that we worry about. Whether it's in this present moment or it was sometime last week, we would all probably be very, very honest with ourselves and say, we're worried about some of that stuff. And how in the world can the Savior of the world, Jesus himself, who lived on planet Earth, who walked around here and experienced this world, actually tell us as his followers not to worry? Is there a way? Jesus, you can't just say that. You got to tell us how. Oh, I'm so glad you're here today, because he tells us how. And this is so great. Verse 26, he tells us how to not worry. Look at the birds of the air. Well, let's pray and go home, right? Like, let's just end it there. We know how not to worry now. Y'all look at the birds. Seriously? Only people in a park with stale bread look at the birds, right? Nobody looks at birds. We ain't got time for that. We got to think about what we're doing for lunch. What do you want to eat? I don't know. What do you want to eat? I don't care. We got to think about what's upcoming this week, our schedules, our kids' schedules, what we're doing for fall break. We got stuff. We don't have time to look at the birds. Now, in the context of Jesus' teaching, remember the Sermon on the Mount in 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, Matthew tells us that they're on a mountainside. They're outside. So I happen to think that if Jesus was really teaching this on the side of a mountain, and you believe what Matthew tells us, like, I think Jesus might have paused here and was like, look at the birds. Like, could we just stop for a second and watch this? And they would watch these birds. Look at them. Pause. And look at God's creation. This is what he continues on, and he says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I think the answers to these two questions are, yes, you're valuable. And no, you can't add any time to your life, an hour, a minute, a second, a decade, by worrying. And this is where some of us have really forgotten. And this is where we really get caught up in our own worries, is because we have forgotten that our God values us. We have forgotten that we are created in the image of God. David tells us in Psalm 139 that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are not just because two human beings got together, that you have value and you have purpose and you have an identity designed divinely by our Heavenly Father. And once you forget that, once you lose sight of that, once you forget that your Heavenly Father, Creator God, created you and sees value in you, it's easy to forget about certain things. It's easy to figure out what I need to worry about. It's easy to focus on those things. But Jesus is like, you're not doing anything of value by worrying. I don't care what your education is, your life experience, that does not matter. Your Heavenly Father sees value in you regardless of your resume, regardless of the mistakes and the screw-ups of last week. There's value in each and every one of us, and it's not based on our production. It's based off you're created in the image of God, and he sees value in you. And so what are we worrying for? Well, have you ever lived on planet Earth? Have you ever had teenagers with driver's license? Have you ever had overwhelming bills? Have you ever had a bad doctor's report? Have you not ever freaked out over something simple? But yeah. So once again, it's very interesting to see here that Jesus tells us, don't worry. And he says, watch the birds. He goes on, he says this, why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers. Forget the birds for a second. Let's go to flowers in the field. They grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and then it's thrown in the fire tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you? And then I think he presents the issue. He says, you of little faith. That once you forget your value in the sight of God, that once you take your focus off your Heavenly Father and the value that he's presented in you, and you begin worrying about all the stuff. Now, necessary stuff, right? We got to eat. You got to have shelter. You got to have clothes. But once you get caught up in it, once you begin losing sleep over it, you of little faith. It's been commonly said that where we worry the most reveals where we trust God the least. Can we think about that for a second? Can we think about maybe what you're worried about right here and right now? Like you're having a hard time focusing on anything I have to say, whether you're in the room or through the screen, because you're so worried about something. Maybe there was something that happened last week that's legit, right? I'm not making fun, I'm not judging, but there's a serious worry in your life. If that statement is true, could it be that what you were worried about last week, maybe that what you're still worried about today in this moment, might be the place, might reveal where you trust God the least? So this happened to me last week. Don't tell my wife I told you this story. But she came home one day last week, and she was like, I've got this lump on this like swollen spot on the back of my head. And I don't know how husbands, I don't know how you respond to like things going on with your wife's body. But like, I'll just be honest with you. Like, my mind went, tumor, cancer, she's going to die. All right, I'll just be honest, like, worst case scenario, right? Again, don't tell her I said this. But, like, it was just like, I mean, now, again, sitting here 6 days later on a stage with a microphone, I was like, that is so dumb, and you laugh at it. I get it, right? It was so stupid in the moment. But thinking about the thing that I began to, I mean, internally, I didn't show her because I'm a man. But, like, internally, I freaked. And when I think about that statement, I'm convicted. I'm like, is God not your healer, Garrett? Is it not by his stripes that you're healed? Of course. So again, think about your last week. Think about the thing in the moment, right here, right now. The thing that you're worried about, whether it's finances or food or fashion, your body, all of these things. Like, think about it. Could it be that the thing that I'm worried about, the thing that Jesus tells me not to do, am I doing what Jesus told me not to do? Is that the area in my life where I'm trusting God the least? Because I don't know if anyone's told you this about worry, but worry lives in the future. And I'll prove it to you. Jesus continues in verse 31. He says, so do not worry. Again, he says it again. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. Now, he's not using a rude or derogatory term here when he says pagans. That's sometimes used in history. What Jesus is saying is everybody else. Because, again, the Sermon on the Mount, the context in which Matthew records this, they're on a mountain, there are people who are following Jesus or potentially following Jesus. And so Jesus is saying, everybody else worries about these things. And notice the phrasing Jesus used at the beginning of this text and here. What shall we eat? What will we wear? What shall and will, shall and will. These are future tense phrases. Jesus is pointing out what you're worried about more than likely most of the time is things in the future. And that's what everybody else, not my followers, that's what everybody else, that's what the world, that's what society tells you to do. Freak out, worry, stress, anxiety, don't eat, don't sleep, do all of the other things because we're so caught up in it. That's what everybody else does. Then he keeps on. He says that your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. And in verse 33, if you've grown up in the church, you've heard this verse before. Maybe not in this context where it's supposed to be, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. This is a very, very, very famous passage of Scripture. And a lot of times we want to take Jesus' words here in verse 33 and we want to apply it to a bunch of different things. But I find it interesting that we find this verse right smack dab in the middle of worry. That when Jesus is teaching his followers, do not worry, do not worry. He's going to say it three times. Don't worry. If you will seek God, if you will seek his kingdom, his righteousness, his right way of living, all of these things will be given to you. Now, here's the rub. All right, here's the problem in what we do in the modern church is we confuse wants and needs. Right? And parents, you get this, don't you? Parents get this the best out of everybody in the room. Y'all get this, right? Your child wants a whole lot of things. They don't need a whole lot of things, but they want a whole, my hand's going up first. How many of you parents, your child has already got a Christmas list going? Okay, like it's a running list, isn't it? It's not just like a seasonal thing, it's like a year-long Amazon. Anyway, like we get this, right? There's a whole lot of things that we want. And this is where we get this passage of Scripture really, really messed up. Because what you're telling me, Garrett, is that if I come to church and I give money, if I serve, if I do the things, right, if I produce results, then God's going to give me what I want. And I want a new bass boat. And I want the newest RV. And I want the bigger house. And I want the new model car. And that is not at all what Jesus is talking about, to ruin your prosperity, Americana gospel, whatever this is called. That is not what he's teaching. And for some of us, let me back up. Let's talk about the birds and the flowers again. Because some of us, we take this concept of don't worry, and we're like, well, if the birds are taken care of and the flowers are taken care of, well, I can just sit back and divinely wait on my DoorDash. That's not what he's saying at all. He's not saying be lazy. He's saying don't worry. He gave you a brain, he gave you reason, he gave you logic for a reason. The people in the first century who were listening to this for the very first time or over and over again as Jesus would teach it, they literally probably did not know where their next meal was coming from. They probably had one outfit. And we sit here in our air-conditioned buildings with our chairs and our live streams and podcasts and all the things. In the 21st century world, where we can plan and prep and prepare and work. Christians are not lazy. And if you are, you need to quit. Do you understand what I'm saying? He didn't allow these birds to store and reap, but he did give them feathers to fly around and do the work that they needed to do. Flowers may not store up crops, but he did give them roots to sink down deep and get the nutrients they needed. Again, God provides what you need, not all the things that we want. But again, right? When we read this, we're like, okay. This is what he said. As followers of Jesus, if you're not a follower of Jesus, these rules don't apply to you. I'm so glad you're here. But if you're a follower of Jesus, this is the reality which we have to live. Do not worry. He goes on to say this in verse 34, the third time. Therefore, since you're following Jesus first, since you're seeking God and his kingdom and all the things, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And every human being said amen. My 7-year-old is becoming obsessed with jokes and riddles, right? And so every time she stumbles upon one, she has to tell me one. And some of them are good. Most of them are trash, okay? But again, 7-year-old. But she told me one the other week or so, and I was like, that's pretty good. I got to remember that. So this is what the joke riddle is, whatever. She says, what's always coming but never arrives? I don't know. And she said, tomorrow. Now, I didn't tell her this, but like when she first said it, as a Vols fan, I thought, it's our year, right? What's always coming never arrives? Our year. It's always our year, and it never, anyway, squirrel. Tomorrow, Jesus just told us this, right? What is always, when Jesus talks about worry and the questions that we ask and the things that we get so worried about, he always uses the future tense because that's where worry lives. Worry lives in the future. So really, what is always coming and never arrives is really tomorrow's worries. Penn State did a study years ago where they figured out, they did this study with people who had this anxiety disorder, and they figured out and published that the things that we worry about in our society, 91% never happen. Of the things that we worry about in this society, a large majority never happen. But this is where we live, isn't it? We live in the worries. And we worry about our worries. But odds are, in the words of a 7-year-old, you think that they're coming, but they never arrive. And so this is the massive difference. Even though it's subtle, it's still a very massive difference between worry and concern. That there is such a slight yet massive difference between being concerned about the things in your life and being worried about them. Because being worried shows you that I'm worried about something by the definition, by what Jesus tells us, it's always in the future. That there's some uncontrollable circumstance or situation. And I'm worried. And what happens is that it always causes us, it causes us to either shut down or to become indecisive. And the slight yet massive difference between being worried and being concerned is action. Or the way that I want you to remember it this morning is that concern solves and worry stalls. And the difference is action. Odds are, whatever you worried about last week, whatever might be bogging you down today, might not ever happen. 91%. So it's not foolproof, but it might not ever happen. And when you worry about it, you get stalled up in life, and it causes indecisiveness, it causes inaction, And so what would it look like for Jesus followers to decide today, I'm no longer going to be worried about my worries, I'm going to be concerned about my worries. That no longer am I going to allow indecisiveness or inaction to be my master. Because Jesus told us that in verse 24. You only get two, you can't serve them both, right? He uses the example of God and money, but I'm sure there's a lot of other things that we could put there. You don't get to serve two masters. Love one, hate the other. And for some of us, I'd be willing to bet that for a very long time, long past what you're worried about today, long past what was going on last week, I would be willing to bet that worry has been your master for a while now. And if you were honest with yourself, there's been a lot of inaction on your part. Why? Because you're future focused and you're missing out on what God is doing today in your life, in your home, in your relationships, in your community, at your school. So how do we change that? How do we shift from being worried about our worries to being concerned? Because being concerned solves. Being concerned shows us that we're going to take some action. And I don't know about you, but if you've been around CrossFit Church long enough, we are all about next steps. I am not about Sunday songs and sermons. I think we should take our next steps in our faith. So I got a couple things to challenge you with. Give me 6 minutes, and then we'll get out of here. If you want to be concerned, right, let's make a decision today. We are done with worrying, right? We're going to follow what Jesus said and not worry. So how do we get ahead of worry? If it's coming, but it never arrives, is there a way to get ahead of it? Is there a way to challenge it? I think so. I think we've done it all morning long for the last 27 minutes. We've spent time reading his word. And so for some of us to get ahead of worry is you're going to have to start opening up this book. Now, if you're new to faith or you're that person who's like, Garrett, I don't really know to start. And I start in Genesis 1 and then I got and found out that Noah got naked and drunk and I just got all confused. I get it. Don't start with Genesis. That's a terrible idea. Stop that, okay? I just read 10 verses of scripture that talks about worry. Why in the world would you go read Genesis 1? So, for those of you who would say, I've been dealing with worry, or you're the Jesus follower and you're like, I read over this passage of scripture and I'm like, okay. My challenge for you is that over the next 7 days, begin a brand new habit of reading these passages of scripture every morning. Now, if you grew up in church like I did, when pastors encourage you to read the Bible, what do they tell you to do? I need you to get up at 5 a.m. Nah, and I need you to get on your knees, all of that stuff. I don't need you getting up early. I need you to get 8 hours of sleep so you don't kill your children, okay? I need you to get plenty of rest so you can go to work and do your job, okay? Here's what I need you to do. At some point in your morning, I don't need you getting up early. I don't need you building a prayer closet. I don't need you doing that stuff. What I need you to do at some point in your regular, everyday morning, read these 10 verses where Jesus encourages his followers, where he commands his followers, do not worry. Now, I took about 30-something minutes to read 10 verses. Y'all can read it a lot sooner than that. I encourage you to do that. Come on, think about it. We live in the 21st century. Isn't it great to have the Bible on our phones? I love the YouVersion app. I encourage you to use the Bible app because here's the deal. For some of you, and I've heard this my entire life in the church, and especially dudes, so let me pick on dudes for a second. You're the guy who says, I don't like to read. All right, if you don't like to read, and the primary way we hear from God is reading the Bible, we got a problem, right? But fortunately for us, we live in the 21st century, and there are Bible apps like YouVersion and others that will read it for you. Hello. So when you're getting ready in the morning, when you're brewing your cup or pot of coffee on your commute into work, pro tip, on your way to drop the kids off, listen to it in the car with your children. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but our kids and our teenagers worry about a lot of things too. Pro tip, listen to the Bible. It counts. It counts, okay? Don't let anybody tell you it doesn't. The second thing that you might need to do is you might need to tell somebody. You know how Christians are real good and coming into different places and we ask the same old stupid questions? Hey, how you doing today? I'm good. How are you? I'm fine. Good. How are you? We're not honest. We're not vulnerable. We're not even real. We've become these robotic statements. And for way too long, some of y'all have been overwhelmed with worry and you're not telling anybody. Now, this could be real simple. Like, for those of you who are married, this could be real simple in, like, saying, telling your spouse or kids telling your parents or your step-parents or, you know, if you're in a home group, you know, raising your hand in home group and instead of just eating all the food, like, actually participating in group, right? That would be wonderful. Like, raising your hand and saying, guys, I'm worried about blank. That would be a real simple step. But for some of you, you have dealt with worry for so long, you need to tell somebody else. And no, not God. Some of you need to start telling your doctors and your therapist and your counselors the truth. That you're not fine. That you are overwhelmed with worry. And we're done with it. We're done with worrying about our worries. We're going to be concerned with it. And so for some of you, it might not be just, hey, on the ride home, telling your spouse, telling your best friend, telling somebody you're worried. It might be making a phone call to make an appointment. I'm all about prayer. I am all about scriptures. But I think we see Jesus needing additional help, and so should you. Now, I know we made fun of it earlier, this list of things that Jesus kind of showed us what we shouldn't worry about. But I would, again, I'd be willing to bet that some of us, our biggest worry is our finances. That we're either spending too much or we're making not enough or we're being lazy and we're not working hard enough or we're just making poor financial choices. I believe it's an opportunity for the church to step up when the people are struggling, not just with spiritual matters, not just with relational matters, but financials too. And so I'm excited to announce today that in a couple weeks, we're going to start a Financial Peace University course right here at Crosswind Church. Spots are limited, so I need you at some point to scan the QR code in front of you, download the app, click the link on the app, and I need you to sign up. Some of you, you have been worried about your finances for way too long. Today, it's time to be concerned about them and say, no longer am I going to sit here in inactiveness. I'm no longer sit here in indecisiveness. I'm going to take a step. I'm going to be concerned with the way that I'm spending. I'm going to be concerned with the way that I'm budgeting or not budgeting. I'm going to be concerned about all the debt that I've accumulated. I'm going to be concerned because you're sports betting and you're not telling your spouse about it. You signed up for another credit card and you didn't tell somebody about it. Jesus told us very clearly, do not worry. What I find interesting about his teaching here is that more than likely all of his 12 disciples, his original 12, were there that day. And one of them by the name of Peter tells us why. Decades later, Peter writes a letter to fellow Christians, and he tells us what to do in this state, right? If you're the Christian who's read this before and you're like, don't worry, okay. Peter tells us decades after Jesus taught this, why? This is what he says. Give all of your worries and cares to God so that he can grant you long life. so that your bank accounts can be overflowing, so that you can get into heaven, so you can memorize more scripture and use theological words. No. Please pay attention to this. If you hear nothing else I say today, Jesus commands us not to worry because he cares. Not because you need something other to do. Not because you need another spiritual activity or another spiritual discipline. He tells us not to worry because he cares. Because you are created in his image. Because each and every one of you have value in the sight of your heavenly Father. So today, let's decide not to worry. Not because it's the correct Christian thing to do, but out of the revelation, the recognition that your and my heavenly Father cares. Let me pray for you this morning. Jesus, you've told us to do something that is so hard. I don't want to devalue that. I don't want to walk over that. But Lord, this is hard. Every single person in the room, this is hard. This is so difficult. And so, Lord, I know a sermon isn't going to be the magical button. I know that we have to take our own steps. We have to take some action on our part to do what you have commanded us not to do. We should not worry. So, Lord, here in this moment, I ask you, to the Holy Spirit, that you would grant us as followers of yours the power, the boldness, the courage to not worry, to take the action steps we need, whether it's simply reading scripture every morning, declaring our trust in you, whether it's telling someone in our lives, telling a doctor, telling a medical representative, maybe it's simply signing up for a class at church. Whatever our next step is, help us have the boldness, the courage to do what is right. Because you care. And Lord, I thank you that you cared so much for us. You didn't abandon us to this evil, broken, fallen world. You lived in it. You died for it. And most importantly, you were resurrected because of it. And because of your resurrection, we have hope. No matter what worries, anxieties, and stresses life throws at us, we have hope. And it's in you we declare our hope, our trust, our faith, and our confidence. And it's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. And everybody at Crosswind Church says,
amen.
Amen. You guys have a great worry-free week.
Thanks so much for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@crosswindchurch.net and download our free app, I Am Crosswind, to keep up to date on all things Crosswind Church.